will have so much critical mineral and rare earths that you won't know what to do with them.
Hi, I'm Rania Yallop.
And I'm Elfie Scott.
And welcome to Party Time, the podcast from SBS News, keeping you up to speed on what's happening in Australian politics.
And Rania, this week we have a bit of a special episode. It is the party pie of episodes. We're going to go shorter today.
Yeah, well, the PM has finally got his meeting with Donald Trump.
It took long enough.
Yeah, you can imagine he'd be, like, pretty nervous. Like,
yes.
This was, like, so specific that he was going there for this meeting that I mean, I would be scared.
Oh, and it's not like we haven't seen dramas unfold with certain Trump meetings and different leaders recently.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very, like, it seems like a very hostile environment to go into. You've kind of been stood up a couple of times beforehand. You're, like, putting yourself out there in the world. You're flying right across the world just to meet with him. And you don't know what's going to happen, but it went, like, remarkably well.
Yeah, so what actually came out of this meeting?
Well, there were, like, a few kind of little bits and pieces. The biggest one is this critical minerals deal and rare earth deal, where Australia is kind of committed to being part of the supply chain for the United States into the future.
Dare I ask why critical minerals are so critical to talk about right now?
Well, they're just important for technology, really. So there's an issue with China. They control most of the supply in the world at the moment. They're kind of putting more controls around that. And Australia has heaps of these. Like, we have lots of stuff underground. You know, that's kind of our thing.
That is my thing, actually.
Yeah. So it's things like lithium, cobalt, and then there's these other, like, rare earths. There's 17 of them. I don't know how to pronounce them. But they're all of these bits on the periodic table that are really important for, like, batteries and technology and things more advanced than that as well. You know, things that are really critical to economies, hence the critical part of critical minerals, I guess.
Got it. And I mean, there were some interesting parts that came out of this meeting, but you spoke to Anna Henderson about this, right?
Yeah, Anna Henderson, SBS's chief political correspondent. She was there for the meeting in Washington with Anthony Albanese, and she joined us just hours after it happened. Thank you so much for joining us today on Party Time, Anna.
You're so welcome, Rania.
Firstly, we need to talk about Kevin. Was that really, like, an awkward moment, or was it just a joke?
Look, it was a strange moment in the room because, you know, the way the question was posed was obviously to tease out from President Trump what he thinks of the ambassador. Kevin Rudd was in the room, but it didn't appear initially that Donald Trump realised that. It was pointed out to him by the Prime Minister that he was literally sitting across the table from him. And then we had that kind of back and forth where Kevin Rudd said, you know, the comments that he'd made, the criticism of Donald Trump had happened before he had been appointed ambassador. But then there was that really kind of targeted retort from Donald Trump, you know, and as a result, I think there was a sense that there was a level of seriousness to Mr. Trump's comments. At the same time, there was this other exchange that happened once everyone was rushed out of the room. So just to give you a little bit of backstory as to how crazy this process is, everyone is jam-packed behind that desk. Like, you can see the cabinet room table that everyone's sitting around, and we are all just sandwiched up against each other in that room. We were rushed out at the end, and as we were leaving, the last of the camera operators from the Australian side managed to catch that actually Kevin Rudd had apologised to Donald Trump, and we're told from a government source on the Australian side that the preamble to that was the president saying, quote, "All is forgiven."
You spoke about then about what it's like in the room, but how many people are in there? How big is it? And what's the feeling in that room?
Well, before we even get into the room, these are very choreographed events. So the media from the Australian side and the US side were all jammed into the room that we often associate with White House press briefings, in that room that is often used for those events. So we were all jammed in the doorway there and then led up into the West Wing through this little sort of rabbit warren to get to the cabinet room. And along the way, there were just paintings and photographs everywhere of President Trump in various guises, departing planes, at protests and rallies. His face was accompanying us along the way as we walked into that room. Once we got in there, we're all sandwiched on one side. We couldn't even see who was representing Australia on the other side of the table. We could see President Trump there with his sort of Praetorian guard, the Secretary of State Marco Rubio, the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. We also had another really key member of his team, of course, the Vice President, J.D. Vance. None of them really said a word the whole time. There were some other representatives on the US side who had to do with defence and energy. On the Australian side, Kevin Rudd obviously was there, along with the Secretary of the Prime Minister and Cabinet, Stephen Kennedy. We also had Jan Adams from the Department of Foreign Affairs, and the Prime Minister's Chief Communications Representative, Fiona Sugden, was among that group.
It's not usual that you see Albanese's press secretary in these things. Was that a surprise that she was there?
It's actually become relatively regular. So this is something that when you look back over the last year or so in particular, but really during the time that Anthony Albanese has been Prime Minister, it's been quite a usual thing for that Chief Communications role to be part of the official party and a part of those events. In some cases, it's because the Australian delegation is quite small going to these events, and so they like to make sure there are sort of equal amounts of representatives on both sides, not a seat filler necessarily, but certainly sort of fleshing out the Australian representative delegation.
Kind of like a bridal party, hey? You want like equal number of bridesmaids and groomsmen to balance out the situation.
You've got to have equal, exactly. Particularly in these kinds of diplomatic engagements where you don't know exactly how it's going to unfold. You want to have that sense of balance from the beginning.
This is Anthony Albanese's biggest test on the international stage. How did he perform?
It was a bit of a dream run, wasn't it? I mean, along the way and in the lead up to this, there were questions raised about how things would unfold, whether or not the White House was sort of avoiding Anthony Albanese or making it difficult to set this meeting. That's huge pressure from the Australian opposition, diminished as it is at the moment, around the fact this meeting hadn't yet occurred and what it signified about the alliance between Australia and the US. This is our closest security ally. There are so many ties between the two nations. So there was a lot of build up to this meeting. Anthony Albanese has been under pressure to come to Washington. In a way, he benefited from timing, because the way that this has unfolded is just in the lead up to coming to the White House,
China has made a big announcement, and it's really made what Australia is offering around this critical minerals deal that they have struck with the US administration
far more powerful.
This critical minerals deal, I was kind of surprised that there was something that was like signed, sealed, delivered on the day. Was that a surprise to you?
Cast your mind back 2 years ago. I was actually over here in the same month, almost exactly 2 years ago, for the state visit that the Prime Minister came here with his fiancée, then partner Jody Hayden, hosted by President at that time, Joe Biden, where they were discussing the future of their relationship. And at that stage, there was a lot of focus on how to do a critical minerals deal, and it kind of went nowhere fast, essentially. In the intervening time period, there's obviously been a change of administration. Australia has just been trying to keep building the argument to try and get a critical minerals agreement over the line. I think what happened with China last week and their announcement around protecting their supply lines has really supercharged things and may well have had a big impact on getting pen to paper today. And I think as well, you know, it was something that the Prime Minister was hoping to have as a key deliverable out of these meetings, something really tangible to walk away with. So it is a bit of a coup that he's managed to get this across the line. I am interested, though, to look at the detail about how much of this is benefiting Australia and how much of this is benefiting the US.
On the security front of this, how significant were those comments from Donald Trump about AUKUS?
The Pentagon, now the Department of War, has been conducting a review of the AUKUS arrangements. There has been a lot of questions raised about whether or not, in fact, the deal could have been put on ice or dramatically changed. Today, it's been quite clear in these discussions, at least in the way that the president chose to shape his rhetoric, that he's very much in favour of the deal. He wants to see the submarine building process sped up. And of course, the US is getting a lot of Australian money and also the ability to base their submarines and repair their submarines around Australia out of this as well. So I think Australia's managed to really convince the US that this is a win-win. But there are at the same time a lot of people in Australia, according to multiple published opinion polls, who are increasingly cautious about AUKUS and critical of that defence spending as well. So the Prime Minister is both, I think, really hanging on that clear line from the US that AUKUS is full steam ahead, but at the same time is aware that he has a job to do in making sure that the domestic audience is going to come along on this ride with him.
Were you surprised how comfortable Donald Trump seemed to be about Australia's level of defence spending?
Yeah, that was a bit of an interesting comment, wasn't it? I was able to put that question to the president about whether or not he thought Australia was now spending enough in defence or whether or not he still thought Australia should be putting more money in. We know that there has been ongoing pressure from the US to see Australia's defence spending dramatically increase, just like that pressure's been put on around the world. But I know the government has been trying to put the argument to the US that, in fact, the AUKUS nuclear submarine deal and the broader defence spending and the way defence spending is calculated in Australia, which is different in their argument to some other countries, means that Australia is pulling its weight in defence. So perhaps that argument has been well received, but perhaps more likely the president has decided not to make a big issue out of defence spending with Australia and has accepted that because of the close relationship, because of the defence alliance and because of other ways that the two nations work together, he's not going to sort of apply that pressure as deeply as he has with other countries.
On the trade side of this situation, I mean, these calls for Albanese to get this sit-down meeting with Trump have really, I mean, they started when those tariffs were first announced in February. Was there any movement on the tariff front in this meeting?
It seemed not at all. And it seemed that the message that was being delivered from the White House, direct from the cabinet room, face-to-face today was that Australia has a really comparatively good deal when you look at how other countries have been affected by the Trump tariff regime. And so Australia should really just accept the deal that it's got, accept that it's much better than what other nations are facing and move on. There was no appetite that I could read in that room for any dramatic changes to what's already in place. And it's true that in some ways Australia is far better off in terms of the tariff regime compared to other countries, but we do have a free trade deal with the US. So in many ways it does still seem counterintuitive that we're facing any tariffs at all. And there are still particular industries, whether you're talking pharmaceuticals or steel and aluminium, where it does seem that there's not a clear path yet for certainty for Australian businesses.
We know that Donald Trump's a big social media user himself. He's also surrounded himself with these social media billionaires since he took office earlier this year. Is this under 16 social media ban a sticking point with the administration? Was that raised at all?
Yeah, it was crickets on that today. There wasn't a single chance or opportunity to try and get further on that question. It is a sticking point. It is an area of difference. And it is one that I'm sure the Prime Minister was quite relieved did not come up in those talks in some ways. Though at the same time, Australia is really going full steam ahead on the international stage on trying to bring together other nations and groupings like the European Union, like the Greek government, and others to try and get more support internationally for this under 16 social media ban. But whether it came up in the room is another thing, a really interesting element of this would be whether or not the Prime Minister did decide to bring it up with Donald Trump privately and talk more about his ambitions in this space. At the moment, we are in that kind of wait and see window to try and get some more information. And we know that the Prime Minister does really guard information that he doesn't wish to share about these meetings with world leaders. So how much we will find out about whether or not it was raised is still yet to be seen.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Anna.
That is a pleasure.
Okay, that was a lot that was covered in like one very short trip. But it seems like after months of pressure, things kind of worked out for Anthony.
Yeah, well, at least in the public. I mean, as Anna said, we don't really know what happened behind closed doors and any possible issues that could come with the US-Australia relationship later on.
Maybe he said something really mean once the door was closed.
Which one? Albanese or Trump?
I would say Trump, yeah. I guess.
I mean, he said kind of mean things when the door was open.
That's true. So. Anyway, okay, it never ends. And thank you so much, Rania, for chatting to Anna.
No worries. We will see you all next week when Parliament is sitting again. But before then, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.